We are facing the church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born. This great church that you see, the great church that you see built by Emperor and the mother of Constantine the Great in 326 AD. And it is considered to be the first church in the whole Christian world. The church of the Nativity built in 326 AD by Emperor and it was completely destroyed by Khosrow, the king of Persia, in 614, rebuilt by the Crusaders in the first century. Now, this is a Crusader church. When you look at the main entrance of this great church, you see a small opening there. Did you see that small opening? This small opening is the main entrance of this great church. You wonder why this great church has a small entrance like this? Just a small entrance. Again, look at the facade of this church. You can see that this church has a big gate. The Crusaders built the church with a big gate, and you still see the original frame of the original gate. Then the gate was made smaller twice. A small church like this. Why? There was a reason of making a small entrance to the great church. The people who used to travel. At that time, they used to travel with camels. When they come to the church, the Nativity, to see the church, they have to go into the church with their animals. The camels, through the big gate. Why they had to leave their camel outside? They had to leave their camel outside because they think
if they leave their camel outside, it might be stolen or get lost or something like that. So they used to take
the chain of the camel
and they used to go into the church with their the Crusaders found that the only possible to keep the animals out of the church is to make a small gate for a man to go through, but not a camel. Camel can never make it. He can never enter to the church through that opening. So they made a small gate to convince people to leave their animals out of the church. So that's why we are standing inside the church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born. Inside the church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born. And I want you to look down here. So this floor, you can see the mosaic floor of the first church built by the Byzantines in the 4th century. It is the remains of the first church. Here you can see the remains of the second church which was built by Emperor Justinian in 521 AD. And up there is the remains of the Crusaders, and the Crusader Museum is still to be seen on the roof. So right here is the floor of the first church built by Emperor Justinian. So let's go.
This week of the top. They call it district of the top at that time. Then the name was changed from the district of the top into Great Britain. B-E-R-T-L-A-H-E-M. Bethlehem.
Known as the house of the
why they call it the house of the people of Bethlehem? From the north to the south, they have to come to the house of bread
to buy their bread, water, and food before they go to the
desert. You know, at that time, people used to travel in the caravan on camels and so on, and they were to go to the journey for 1 month. They spent long time in the desert. At that time, so before they go to the desert of Sinai, they used to come to Bethlehem and spend an overnight at the Bethlehem by the way.
Marks the place where Jesus Christ was born.
He was born here?
Yes.
Right here. Wise men, you got here in a hurry, didn't you? We must have come by.
I see the Greek for this church here,
and here we are facing now the Armenian Orthodox Church, where they have their own chapel in Armenian, and where they have their own chapel, and where they worship in their own language, Armenian. You know, Armenia is a country which is today part of the Soviet Union. You heard of Armenia, that is part of the Soviet Union, and this is the Armenian Orthodox Church. Here we come to see the continuation of this table of the cave in which Jesus was born.
You heard this story, yes? So we were, and that was the birthplace of Jesus, and this is supposed to be the continuation of the cave. That Jesus was one of the partners of the cave that the opening was from here.
See, we were just behind this wall. You remember when we saw the three chapels there? We were behind this wall when we saw the three chapels there, and there, here, is the main opening of this table of the cave. He is still seated, actually. And, I mean, they use it when they celebrate the Christmas Christmas Eve. This year is this year. But when they celebrate the midnight mass, you know, 12 o'clock, they take this bambino and they put it on the star of the 14th. On the star of the 14th one that is so in the true body.
Now, this is the Roman Catholic Church.
And that is what we call the Roman Synagogue. You know, Jerome was the Bible translator. This is where the Bible was translated from the old Aramaic language into Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Where the Bible was translated from the old Aramaic language into Greek, Latin, and Hebrew by Saint Jerome. So you can see it in the older steps of the Rome, which dates back to the time of Emperor Cyril. And right here,
it is where the angel appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus.
That's their source of energy, Brother Tom.
Huh?
That's their source of energy up there.
What? How far?
Yeah. At least the building and everything else built there. Do you ask that?
Does that mean there's a lot of them? Is it just not the same old thing about it?
Yeah. Just about what type of problems you got with it.
We came from the city of Bethlehem all the way down to the bottom of the valley. This is known as the field of Boaz and Ruth. And you know, Boaz and Ruth, they were the fourth generation of Jesus. This is where Boaz was married to Ruth. I will give you a chance to go up on the bus. This is where Boaz was married to Ruth. And this is where they used to grow the wheat and to supply the city of Bethlehem with wheat. Later on, this valley became to be known as the Shepherd Field. It is where the angel appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus. So they came from this field all the way to the cave of the Nativity, and they looked at Jesus when he was in the manger. So you can go up to the box for a picture.
About how far is it from here to the manger?
It's a matter of a mile and a half, 2 miles. That's it. Outside the wall of Jerusalem at the time of the Babel. You remember this morning when we went to the model of the second temple, and I showed you that Pool of Bethesda was outside, and it is where they used to wash the sheep before sending the sheep to the altar of the sacrifices. And you know the story when I told you that story about the pool.
So if you look through the arch that you see, you can see the original structure of the Buddha, which dates back in time of the end. And the arch that you see, what's left of the Byzantine church, it was built in the 4th century AD. And on this side here, you see the remains of the Crusader church, built in the 12th century AD, about 1800 years ago. Pool of Bethesda, the covered with three levels.
level of the Romans, the level of the
and the seven spirit, which have
a heal that paralyzed man and sick and arise and man take out his bed and go.
So if you want to go as far as the bottom of the other side, the hidden part of the pool, you go through that arch there and about 10-15 steps and you'll be looking at one of the sides of the pool which is still hidden. You can go down there and the left hand side the interface.
You don't have much time we got.
Attention please. You remember this morning we were looking at the mother of the time. We saw the four towers of Antonia Fortress, and I told you that Pontius Pilate made from Antonia Fortress his residential palace and also.
I'll take care of it. Yeah,
his residential palace and also the judgment room where Jesus was condemned to death. This convent where we are standing now, supposed to be standing above the lift of Trophos, the stone of the street of Jerusalem at the time of Rome, and also what left of the fortress of Antonia, which was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus, the son of the Roman emperor of Britain. This is very interesting place to visit. Also, you are going to see the arch of Epivombo, which was the main entrance of Antonia Fortress, and the big system of water where the Romans used to store the rainwater at that time. They have few models in this convent here. They show you how Antonia Fortress looks like and how Jesus moved out of the Gabata, out of the pavement floor, through the way of sorrow up to Calvary or Golgotha where the crucifixion took place. Now, in a few minutes, one of the sisters will be coming and taking you all together to show you the arch of the Homo and the pavement floor. But before we do that, if you want to go to the washroom, let's do it before you go down to the pavement for the statue tour. So, let's, those who want to go to the washroom before we.
These washrooms at this point were for men and women both. They were not separated. You just went into the same restroom. I went in there and I was very embarrassed when I seen the women in there also.
Now, Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt a great many times. The walls are dead and they're no longer in the same position. Last time, shows the walls as they are today. The raised part shows the walls as they were at the time of the left temple. This means the whole continental wall outside is here, as well as within the walls now outside. The Lord also has chosen her center, chosen crucifixion, the truth of resurrection. The soul is just outside the walls and now in the old city. The seat here is called the Gate of Judgment, because here for the last time someone has attempted to be the center of the past. The fourth treasure of the temple is the temple area, the western wall, so that in the Jewish people come straight here. This is the Temple Valley, the Mount Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. Getting over very quickly, the probable rule of Jesus. The first day of the Friday, showing the claim to change the whole part of the Bible. Jesus had a last supper on the first day of the Bible, the Old Mount Sinai. After the cross of Jesus came in Paris, he came to the Mount of Olives, the Old Mount Sinai. The Jesus prayed, the prayed by Jesus, the same Jesus. The recross of the Catholic Valley came to the Old Mount Sinai. Some of the people have a pattern where the church is teaching Calicanity now there. These are their prophets. The base of this church is a simple Christmas, where we remember that Jesus Christ, the first, the Friday morning, the on the Good Friday, we came to the forefront of the fire, after the acceptance of the cross. Now,
Now, this is a model of the Antonio Porter. This guy removed a temple and he has been told over around 5 foot in the Porter and the Antonio Porter. Now, in the center of this building, a large open courtyard. Somebody in the position says the courtyard enters the garden of the garden. Gives different names according to the translation of the Bible. Coming from the service of the Bible, the Jesus. In 1931, the pastor made the courtyard of the Bible. We go down on the table. First of all, you're going to be able to come and report the system, come to the aid of the day of the Bible, and the day of the Bible. And at the far end, on the very ancient road, and in the year that we remember,
very low, because the excavations were made after the church and convent had been built. Here we have a gutter which took the rainwater down to the huge tunnels which were underneath the courtyard. Marked out here are games played by the Romans. Here we have a star with the symbol of the Roman eagle above it. Now this is the game of the king, Basilinda. There's the letter D for Basileus, it means king. A scorpion, that's the symbol of one of the Roman legions. A circle for a crown. On this stone we have a sword. It's been partially rubbed out. You can see it much more clearly here. This photo was taken in 1931, when the markings were first uncovered. Now this game, the game of the king, was played by the Romans during a festival called the Festival of Saturnalia. And during the game, there was a mock king. Because of these markings in this game, this place has been chosen to remember that at one time, Jesus was made a mock king. In the Gospels, it tells us that Pontius Pilate asked this question, "Are you a king?" The Roman soldiers placed a scarlet garment on the shoulders of Jesus. They crowned him and knelt in mockery. Pilate, seated in his judgment seat, washed his hands, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." Barabbas, another prisoner, was allowed to go free, and Jesus accepted the cross. Then we're going to walk right across the courtyard until you get to the road. To watch the stones, you can tell when you get to the road because the surface of the stones changes. And we'll go the back way, we're going to take the far end, this way. Here in front of you, you can see that they've been lined. This was done to roughen the surface so that the horses wouldn't slip. It's typical of a road of about that size. This part of the courtyard, there was a road that went right the way through the fortress. It's here, on this ancient road, that we remember the Via Dolorosa, Way of Sorrow. Jesus accepted the cross, carried along a road that led to the crucifixion, through the crucifixion, to the resurrection. Many people like to give to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre the name of the Church of the Resurrection. And around the entrance of the tomb, you'll find these words. He is not here, he has risen. Took your time one at a time, just it's the lovely is this it took me a long time to get to know it. Next to this friend.
This was the synagogue of Capernaum of the Phoenix. Rich man with the Bible. As he was trying to prove that he has got enough money and he can go to heaven, he looked up and he can go to heaven. Jesus said to that man, "Go and sell your property and give it to the poor. You shall build a treasure in heaven and come on from." Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Verily I say unto you, it is much easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to go to the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to look at the eye of the needle that Jesus was referring to. It's a small gate in a big gate. You know what is the concept of the eye of the needle that Jesus was saying? You know, at the time of the Romans, the gates of Jerusalem were like this, a big gate and a small gate within a big gate. After sunset, the God has to come and to close the big gate, and he has to open the eye of the knee. And he has to sit nearby the eye of the needle, that small gate, and to watch the people who are coming into the town at night, moving their feet around the bridge. So, he has to keep an eye on those who are coming at night. If they are coming with their camel, they have to leave the camel outside the town, in the stable, and to go by themselves to the eye of the needle. Tomorrow morning, when the next Jesus was trying to say, if you want to go to heaven, not pray to go to heaven. You need to go to heaven to be righteous. But you can never have heaven in your mind. The second can never enter Jerusalem to the hour of the need, and why close that door? You can't get it. You can't get it. You will be righteous. You will be righteous. You are, I mean, what is the first word there? I mean, you can never buy heaven. You can never get to the same one. But if you have no faith, you can go to heaven. No faith, no faith. You can go to the eye of the needle, which is restricted for you.
No, no, no. Okay.
I want you to look down there. You see the site of the excavation in around the Wailing Wall. Now this is the continuation of the wall. It goes as far as the corner, and this was the hidden part of the wall. You know, there were many houses standing here that didn't turn down, and they went digging and searching, and they came down to a level. That is the Umayyad level. They found the Muslim Umayyad in the 8th century A.D. built houses above the Roman period. Now they are digging in the Roman period. So you can see the continuation of the Wailing Wall all the way to the corner.
You women talk specially.
Got a lot to learn here.
Will you come a little closer if you want to if you want to hear the explanation? Come closer, please. I give you chance for a picture. You will be having chance for a picture. Listen to me first. We are facing the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall is what's left of the surrounding wall of the temple. You remember this morning we went to the model, and I was pointing to you where the red lines, you remember? I told you that's supposed to be the location of the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And that is the upper city of Jerusalem. And the people who are coming from the upper city of Jerusalem to the lower, they have to go through a bridge, remember? To avoid going down to the bottom of the Cheesemaker Valley. So this is what's left of the Western Wall, and there also the hidden part of the Western Wall. You can see that there are so many buildings standing above the Wailing Wall, like, you know, the other part which has been excavated recently. Now, why it is known as Wailing Wall, or why it is known as Western Wall? Wailing Wall, Western Wall. You know, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, also the Jews who were living here, they said, what left of the temple? The answer was, not much left of the temple except the Western Wall. They said, let's go and wail for the coming of the Messiah as the Savior. Let's go and wail for the reconstruction of the temple. Let's go and wail for the loss of the Ten Commandments of Moses. Since then, it is known, or it became be known, as the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. The Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And the Jews, up till now, since 70 AD, up till now, they come to this wall, they took this except the Western Wall. They said, let's go and wail for the coming of the Messiah as the Savior. Let's go and wail for the reconstruction of the temple. Let's go and wail for the loss of the Ten Commandments of Moses. Since then, it is known, or it became be known as the Wailing Wall of the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall of the Western Wall. And the Jews, up till now, since 70 AD, up till now, they come to this wall, they kiss this wall, and they pray and they wail. And they wait for the coming of the Messiah as a savior. They wait for the reconstruction of the temple and for the loss of the Ten Commandments, I mean the tabernacle, which was in the Holy of the Holies at that time. Now, we came through the temple area, isn't it? We were walking through the temple area. Now, Orthodox Jews, the very, very Orthodox Jews, very religious Jews, they don't permit themselves to go into the temple area. See, they come to the wall, as far as the wall, and they first this wall and they pray and they worship. They don't permit themselves to step into the temple area. They feel that they are guilty if they are going through that gate, and they walk on the path which was known as the Holy of the Holies, which could be anywhere in this area. But Reformed Jews, they don't mind, they go into the temple area and stand there. Now we want to go as far as the wall, and you can see ladies are praying, they are facing the wall and praying. So ladies can go there, as far as the wall, and they can take pictures. And gentlemen should go to the other side. You know, women and men, they must be separated when they come to the synagogue. You are not supposed to be mixed up altogether in a holy shrine. I mean, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, they don't allow the women and the men to stand together in a synagogue or in a holy shrine. They have to be separated. So, now ladies, you can go as far as that wall, take pictures. Gentlemen, you follow me to the other side, and then in 10 minutes time we'll meet in the same place, okay?
Where'd our guide go? He probably went up against the wall then. Crawford out to you. I had my eye on him a while ago, but I lost him. There they are. See him right over by the first gate. See him? Crawford and Pasley. Coming out, halfway out, over against the wall over here. See him over here? Over to your left. To your left. To your left. A little further. Up here. Hey, here they come out the gate here. See them? All of them, right over here. They're all coming out the gate, John. See them? Thank you.
see that story, Johnny? That's the old Artisan Road. It'll be a fancy man. That's the story. That's the scripture. The old original scripture, he's on road.
Never act as they're doing. Out last denial of being the guy I ever met up with.
You know how he got in that night.
Every heart beat and desire, that's how wicked and hellish and ungodly they are, pervert people. Ever act. He came to me, he was receiving.
Came to his own rejection. They yet have received. All they're looking for is personal. Nothing personal.
Hey, what? Yeah, you didn't go down there?
No, I stood out here and took pictures.
Yes. Have they come back?
Yes, woman. I don't know if you are too wailing by now.
Once we came through that opening, that door, we are in the temple area. And the temple area today covers about 36 acres. And it is known as the mosque. There are two mosques. In this area, they are standing on the site of the temple. The Gold Dome, which is known as the Dome of the Rock, and in Al-Aqsa Mosque, this one. And this mosque was burned 5 years ago by an Australian. I don't know, maybe you read in the papers that an Australian, one of the hippies, and you see there are so many crazy hippies today. One of the hippies came here and he set a fire in the mosque there. And that caused big trouble in Jerusalem at that time. And when he was made prisoner, they found that he's mentally sick. And they kept him in a mental hospital. Now this mosque was badly damaged. And it was built in 720 AD. And it was badly damaged. Now it is under construction. Let's go first and take a look at this mosque, and then we'll be going to, because you are going to miss it. This is the most beautiful dome in the whole world. It is solid gold, the whole dome from inside. So take off your shoe. If
can I get
wet,
part of that gold?
Yes, I will give you. Bye. I mean, take off your shoe. If it is trouble, just take it, you know. Don't miss that place.
Okay. No.
The Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque. And there is a spring in front of you. This spring here, in fact, it's pump water from the system. You know, the Muslims are required to wash the face, the hands, and the feet before attending the service. They can do it anywhere they want. They can do it at home. But they will be having the last chance to do it here before going to the mosque to worship. So, it is what we call the ablution of the mosque. And let's stand there. I want to tell you the whole story of this area before we enter the other mosque, so you understand what. Okay, some can sit here, some sit there.
You're going to stand there?
I stand here. Attention, please. Now here,
we come to the temple area. You know, this is Mount Moriah where Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son Isaac. And this is where King Solomon, the son of David, built his great temple on the top of the Rock of Moriah. And the temple was completely destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, in 586 B.C. So the followers of David and Solomon, they have been taken from Jerusalem to Rome to their captivity, where they stayed for almost 49 years. And afterward, they were allowed to return back by King Cyrus, the king of Persia, who conquered the Babylon. So the temple and the city of Jerusalem were rebuilt, but magnificently restored by Herod the Great in 37 B.C. The second great temple was built by Herod the Great in 37 B.C., and it is where Jesus used to come and to preach, and this is where he came and disagreed with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and this is where he said, give what to Caesar and what to God. So the second great temple was completely destroyed by Titus, the son of the Roman Emperor Vespasian, and that was in 70 A.D. After 70 A.D., after the destruction of the temple of Herod the Great, no temples ever built in this area. No temples ever built in this area at all. So afterward, Hadrian came and he reconstructed the city of Jerusalem in 135 A.D., he reconstructed the city of Jerusalem in 135 A.D. And Hadrian, the builder of the city of Jerusalem, did not pay any attention to the temple because to him means nothing. As a Roman emperor, he doesn't care much for where Abraham was trying to sacrifice his son, and he doesn't believe in that. So this area left neglected area for centuries, up till 636 A.D., when the third caliph of the Muslims, Umar al-Khattab, entered Jerusalem. You know, the Muslims came and they ruled this country under a caliph called Umar al-Khattab. And Umar al-Khattab, when he came here, he was looking for the Rock of Moriah, searching and looking for the Rock of Moriah. To him, it is an important spot because according to what has been mentioned in the Quran, that Muhammad, the Prophet, made his journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And from the Rock of Moriah, he was taken up to heaven to receive the message of God. When he received the message of God, he returned back to the Rock of Moriah. And from the Rock of Moriah, he went back to Mecca during a journey night. So, Muhammad went up to heaven via the Rock of Moriah. So, that's why he came and built a wooden mosque around the Rock of Moriah, and he preserved that rock. Later on, and in 691 A.D., the Umayyad Khalif Abdul Malik bin Marwan, the Khalif of Damascus, built this great mosque, which is known as the Dome of the Rock, or the Mosque of Umar. And it is considered to be the richest mosque in all over the world. It is very rich in gold, ceiling, mosaic, marble, and tiles. The mosque we entered just now is nothing, just a simple one. But when you go inside, you'll be surprised. The ceiling of this dome is 21 carats gold. And you think how the people of the time produced such beautiful bomb. So, this mosque considered to be the third holy spot to the Muslims. The first holy spot is Mecca, where Abraham built the Shrine of Kaaba and where Prophet Muhammad was born. The second holy spot is Medina, where Prophet Muhammad was buried. And this is the third holy spot from where he made his heaven journey. So, this is the third holy spot to the Muslims. So, let's go there. Have you enjoyed it? Yeah. You missed it.
Sure. Well, I knew I was going to miss it.
Yes, sir.
I didn't go in there. Now, that the old temple sat there, the altar was there, which it was, no doubt about it. Then the main part of the temple had to be back of that.
My dear friend, let me tell you something.
Okay, you tell us about it.
This dome here, or this place where we were, if this was the altar of the sacrifice, the temple couldn't be here.
That's right.
If this was the altar of the sacrifices,
yeah,
the temple shouldn't be here.
Right.
Because
right.
You can never sacrifice and bring blood into the temple. It has to be outside in the courtyard of the Gentile. So the temple could be down there.
Could be.
More to the silver dome. The gold dome is supposed to be outside in the courtyard. Is it clear?
Well, it had
so the temple could be exactly the area where you sat and took that picture. Yeah, where you sat
and off of the animal.
Outside.
Now that be the
This is the altar of the sacrifice, to be outside. So, where is the chapel? It's where you sat on the stairway for the picture.
Okay,
and right. All the way to the Silver Dome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mosque.
When they had the service here, one of the priests has to stand there, the imam, to lead the prayer.
Out of the old city of Jerusalem by King Herod's gate.
This is where we are. Yeah, that's it.
That's King Herod's gate.
Yeah, King Herod's gate. You remember we have entered the city of Jerusalem by St. Stephen's gate. And now we came out by King Herod's gate.
Discussing about the great impact of the sacrifices is the answer of John the Mariah and the author of the sacrifices also made the delivery of Gilena for the value of Enochandis and also the value of the club. Standing.
This is finally right here.
Yeah, now to the right. It's the beginning. This is the beginning of the valley, and then it's taking it all the way down to the Kidron. five figures lying on the ground. From this area, they seem to be just lighting up on Nevada. I mean, it is lying on the ground with some hands. They leave it just like as it was in San Nevada. And I think they also must have a reason of keeping the tea by first, it is supposed the grid will be on a red sun in the morning, you know, the morning dew. At 5 o'clock in the morning, at the summertime, the sun will be wet. So the bunch of the grid is lying on the red sun, and that, in a city. That kind of grid would be sweet, much sweeter than the other one for the other thing which is hanged.
So the same thing
in the so when they leave it on the soil, on the wet soil, it would be more sweet. To a place called Kadesh Barnea. They have settled there for 38 years. And Kadesh Barnea is an oasis in the desert. It's an oasis in the desert. And that is where Moses selected his tribe to go to the land of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb came all the way to the valley of Ishkol.
And when they came here, they have selected three kinds of foods. And they carried the three kinds of foods in a big bunch, on a stick, on their shoulders, for 5 days from here all the way back to Kadesh Barnea. They wanted to prove to them that they have entered the land of Canaan. How can Joshua and Caleb, how can they go back to Moses and tell them, oh, we went to the land of Canaan, it is beautiful, and they gave a description from their own mind. How can they prove it? What was the proof? They have gathered figs, pomegranate, and grapes. In Kadesh Barnea, in Sinai, there's no fruit at all. The only fruit was there, the dates. So they wanted to prove to Moses that we have entered the land of Canaan, and here is the evidence. If you have any doubt that we didn't enter the land of Canaan, here's the grape, eat. Here's the fig. You don't have it here. So we made it. So they went to Berioth Ishkut. They came here. And this Berioth Ishkut goes all the way down to the west. And they have gathered the three kinds of food, fig, pomegranate, and grape. Now, when you look at my sign here, you know, the Ministry of Tourism made from the emblem of Joshua and Caleb and the graves and the fish and so on is the sign of the tourism and the cultural use of Israel. So you see this emblem on tourist cars and guides and so on. So Joshua and Caleb came to the Valley of Ishmael and visited the Valley of Ishmael. I don't know whether you would be able to take pictures about the light. Would you care for pictures? Okay, you can go out of the bus for that if you want.
How do you spell this valley?
Ishkul.
Pomegranate, figs, and grapes.
Well, did Josh and Phelan came here, huh?
Yes, sir.
If you have to go out of the bus for a picture,
those who want to go out of the bus for a picture, please do. It's too dark from here.
Well, no.
Uh-huh.
Not much light anywhere. So, I got some food.
Are we going to back by this same road?
Yes.
Maybe be more light.
No, I don't think so. It's going to be worse. Take it now, it's better. Because I listened to the weather forecast, at noon it's going to be more worse. I mean, there will be more rain. So,
I'm